Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. Dennis Wu sitting here with Nomi Rojas. Top of the afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon. And today we are speaking to Salvador Baeza. He is a pharmacist, but he is also the director of the West Texas Regional Poison Center. And what we're going to be talking about today specifically are e-cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I did see a press release recently out of the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. It was just put out this month, earlier this month, that it said that poison centers across the country are seeing an increase in e-cigarette-related calls to poison centers. And so I was hoping, Mr. Baeza, that you would be able to talk to us about our regional poison center. It is located in El Paso.
Correct. Yes, we are located here at University Medical Center of El Paso, formerly known as Thomason. And we are a regional center. So not only do we cover El Paso, but also the 36 counties of West Texas. So Midland, Odessa, San Angelo, Big Spring are the bigger communities in our region, extending down to the western edge of the heart of Texas and Mason on over to the Big Bend area. So lots of jackrabbits and tumbleweeds and a few people, about population of about 1.4 million. In our region.
And what's the volume of calls that you typically see?
Well, we're getting into our busier season. Spring and summer, when everyone is out and about, and bugs and critters as well, is when we'll see between 100 and 120 calls a day. During the winter, we actually slow down to about 80 calls a day. So we do see that seasonal variation. And we get all types of calls. When you think of what is a poison, it can be anything, whether it be your household plants, insects, bugs, you know, rattlesnakes. We've had our first rattlesnake bite last week.
Or e-cigarettes.
E-cigarettes, definitely e-cigarettes, medications, you know, in the home, household products. Now, the reason why e-cigarettes has kind of made the headlines recently is because of the nicotine that they contain, the liquid nicotine that's within them. Many of these e-cigarettes, you're able to refill. And one of the numerous reported benefits, if you will, of e-cigarettes versus your traditional cigarettes, one of them is it may be less expensive by refilling the cartridges that are used. You also, in the refill solutions, they're not childproof. There's no child-resistant cap. And so that's our main concern, is that kids getting into these unintentionally. And the high concentrations of nicotine that you can find in these liquids. So that's the main reason why poison centers across the country have kind of trying to increase the public's awareness that although these products are touted as being safer than cigarettes, they certainly still have significant risk and potential for serious medical outcomes.
One of the things that I note, we have a couple of examples on the table, and we'll certainly be putting them up on our Facebook page, as well as the Facebook page with Nomi Rojas and Synapse and other pages as well. When you look at the cartridge itself, kids would look at the cartridge and think that's a Tootsie Roll.
Yes, the one here, it's for a fin that you have here. And yeah, it looks chocolate brown. Mm-hmm. Looks like a cylinder about an inch and a half long. So yeah, it looks like a Tootsie Roll.
It does.
And the biggest thing, they also come in flavors. Mm-hmm. So chocolate, different types of flavors for the smoker's enjoyment.
Right.
And so the thing of, well, if you took a drink of grandpa's old chew tobacco spit, I mean, obviously that tastes nasty.
Yeah.
But you may not see that in this case because it can actually taste, you know, and smell pleasant.
One of the things that we have to note, one of the things is that the e-cigarette industry is not yet regulated. So what's happening is you're seeing a proliferation of a multinational conglomerate, if you will, of manufacturers glutting the market. And they come in all sizes, all colors, all flavors. I've seen chocolate, vanilla, menthol, peppermint, cinnamon. You go to some of the vapor shops and, you know, the salespeople will try to, quote unquote, help you through it. But basically, they're trying to make a buck. You
know, and these things are not childproof.
No, they're not. You know, if you look at the fin. And I need to preface this by saying that the views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff or management of KTEP or the university. It is quite controversial. McDonald's has already banned the use of e-cigarettes at all of the restaurants around the world, not just here.
I know you were saying earlier that I asked you, how do you light it? And you said you don't light it. You just start sucking on it, which is also, you know, for a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yikes. As far as if they were to, you know, back in the day, we had the sugar cigarettes with the little, what was it?
Yeah, I remember
flower
those.
Or whatnot. Remember that you used to play and imitate your parents?
Yeah.
And that, you know, our toddlers, our kids, our preschoolers, they explore the world through their mouth and imitation. So they're imitating mom and dad. And so, yeah, if they were to see this out in the kitchen table, they could just as easily as mom or dad do, put it to their mouth, suck on it, and be exposed to the nicotine that way. So, yeah, so that's just one of the dangers with these type of products. The amount of nicotine will vary. Some have zero, and it's just to help the person who's trying to quit smoking, help them, you know, with having something in their mouth, put, you know, the sensation of
inhaling,
sucking on it. Yeah. So it helped them as a tool to help them quit smoking. Great. However, there are other formulations with extremely high amounts of nicotine within them. I believe
when you purchase these, yes. Does the label say high, low, zero? How do you know?
You know, that's a good point. I'm not sure. The FDA did a study in 2009 and looking at the amount of nicotine in the product versus what was in the label, highly variable, huge variability. So really, if it is stated on the label, we may not be able to go. It may not be
accurate.
Accurate, yeah.
Because it's not regulated.
Exactly. The United States, we're kind of behind the curve. Some countries have been very proactive in either banning them or regulating them as tobacco products or regulating the e-cigarettes themselves as medication devices. So here in the United States, we're not there yet. The FDA is struggling at looking at it. Mr. Wu mentioned they're banned here on campus. But yeah, the first time I saw one, we were, you know, having dinner and see gentlemen in the table next to us. Some look like cigarettes. Others look like cigars. Others can even look like pins or pipes. And this one, it looked like a pin. And I'm like, well, what is he doing? And he was doing an e-cigarette. And so we started talking about it. Well, is that legal? Is it not? And, you know, we don't do indoor smoking in El Paso.
And you just saw him. Did you smell anything?
No, we couldn't. We couldn't smell anything. But, yeah, you can see him. So that raises a couple of things. Number one, what's in the vapor that they exhale? Really, we don't know. It's not known what exactly is being exhaled. And so that's not only the short term as far as the secondhand smoke, but, you know, any long term chronic effects. It's all well known for tobacco and tobacco smoke that the dangers of chronic use and secondhand smoke even.
I mean,
with these, we don't know.
Is it safe to say that it's a carcinogen still because it's still nicotine?
Well, you're avoiding the tar. You're avoiding a lot of the other 100 other compounds, potentially carcinogens within the cigarettes. I don't know. I don't know if we could. Safe to say yay or nay on this. So.
Dr. Laura O'Dell is a psychologist here on campus, and she's studying the nicotine addiction and withdrawal symptoms with women, especially women of childbearing age and menopausal age. She wants to see why it's harder for women to wean themselves off of nicotine than men at that same age. They're starting to lean more towards possibly a hormonal imbalance. They don't know quite yet. So this longitudinal study has been out maybe for 2 years, and it will still continue. But one of the things that I remember talking to her about specifically is that she told me that this nicotine in of itself doesn't vaporize like it's supposed to. So you have to change the nicotine, the liquid nicotine, into a compound so that when you light it up, if you will, by sucking on the filter, then you draw the nicotine into your system. Now, three things hit me immediately. The nicotine gets into your system faster because it's no longer inside this smoke compound. It's now a vapor, so it hits your tongue, it hits the back of your throat, it hits everything. So now you're metabolizing this a lot quicker. But the exhaling of this product, you don't know what it is, and it certainly does hurt. And I don't understand how people don't hurt when they do this.
So when you used it, you felt the physical pain, not right psychological.
Not in your
right
esophagus?
Like, okay. Right. Wow. Well, it's below. Well, it's right here inside
in
the chest.
In the sternum, yeah.
Yeah, inside the sternum. And so I don't understand how people can't. And then there's another byproduct of this whole thing. Because it's a vapor, it also creates a mucus sort of problem inside your nose and your sinus cavities. And so now you get clogged. Whereas when you have a vaporizer at home, when you got a cold and you put the Vicks vapor up and all that, that's an entirely different thing. You feel a lot better with this. This you don't.
Wow. One of the ingredients that I know is used as a solvent for to put the nicotine into solution is propylene glycol, which is a chemical that is used. It's approved for use in medications, and we commonly see it done so. However, there's also the potential of it containing diethylene glycol, which can be a toxic alcohol, similar to your ethylene glycol in the antifreeze. So, again, a lot of this was initially invented by a pharmacist in China, I believe, and it's just spread around the world now. And it's just there's so many unknowns, and it's unregulated, which is just compounding the unknowns of what you're buying and what you're using and what you're inhaling. And again, our biggest concern is what our kids might be ingesting if they were to get a hold of it.
My history of being a smoker, I started when I was 20 in 1975. And so now in 2001, I stopped smoking. I was a 3.5 pack a day smoker. So it was
intense.
That's
a lot.
Wow. Yeah. That was intense because I only smoked at work. I never took it home. And so when I stopped cold turkey, you know, you feel better about it. Your body starts to feel a lot better. You feel like you've got more energy in your lungs as the days progress, and that's great. Why I picked this up is because I was curious about it. I had gone to go buy a car, and the car salesman said, "Here, why don't you try one of these e-cigarette things?" I thought, okay. Well, I tried one of the pen things, and I thought, well, this isn't so bad. Until about 8 hours later, I started feeling kind of funny here. I couldn't eat. Yeah, I couldn't eat. Things going down the throat started feeling like there was ripping it apart. And I thought, that can't be right.
Do you think it's because you had previous damage? Maybe that's why it's painful?
I'm sure it is. It's got to be an internal scarring. Although my doctors and all the internists who have looked me over the years said, oh, the best thing you ever did was stop smoking.
Yeah. In case you're joining us, we're talking with Salvador Baeza. He is a pharmacist and the director of the West Texas Regional Poison Center in El Paso. And it's also located on the Medical Center of the Americas campus, which, if you don't know where that is, it's off the Reynolds exit just south of the freeway. And it's about a 150-acre medical campus. That's where the Poison Center is. University Medical Center is there, Children's Hospital, Texas Tech Medical School, and their new nursing school. Can you tell us, have you had any calls into your poison center, about e-cigarettes?
Yes, we have. And it's, the most concerning ones, and I'm just going to keep repeating this. The most concerning ones are when the kids get a hold of them.
So it's involving children, the calls that you get.
Those are the ones that are most concerning. And about half the calls we get, about 54% of the calls we received, involve children less than 5. So again, these are the little tykes, the toddlers, your preschoolers who are just exploring the world. And the amount has increased significantly. Back in 2009, I went back, ran some reports. In 2009, we only had a couple of calls. Now looking to last year, to 2013, we had 123 calls. So every third day we're getting a call on an e-cigarette. And so far this year, for the first 3 months, we've already had 66 calls. So it's an increasing trend. Now it's not a significant number. However, yeah, the trend is certainly increasing rapidly. So that's the main thing is making sure people are aware of what it is that they're bringing home. And just taking the necessary precautions to keep their kids safe, if nothing else.
Yeah, I have a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and just keeping my cell phone and my tablet away from them can be hard, you know? I mean, these cigarettes are small. They're like a pencil. And so you can leave one laying around and forget about it, and next thing you know, you're calling a poison center, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, take a look at this one. This is a manufactured product called Enjoy. And it looks like a cigarette. It looks like a toy. So when a kid picks this up and wants to be adult, like we used to with the candy cigarettes, all of a sudden it's like, hey, look what I got. And so they start puffing on this. And there is no on and off switch on these things. So when you draw through, you draw the nicotine and the vapor into that lung. And they're so young. The pack looks like a play toy. You know, it's plastic. It's easy to mess around with. The fin isn't as much of a cart around sort of a thing as the other thing, but that cartridge, what they call the cartomizer. And my question to you, doctor, is when a child, when you get a phone call that a child's been poisoned by an e-cigarette, what are the symptoms that usually accompany that child by picking up that e-cigarette?
Well, nicotine, we have nicotinic receptors as part of our parasympathetic nervous system. And nicotine's a stimulant. So we can see, obviously, upset stomach, nausea and vomiting, very common. But more specifically, it can dilate the pupils, cause muscle twitching. It can increase the heart rate, cause tachycardia. We can see a weakness. It can increase the blood pressure, increase the blood sugar, even cause fasciculations and seizures in a large enough amount. So that's what we're trying to prevent. That's what we're trying to get the word out. Again, when kiddo gets a drink of grandpa's chew tobacco or bites into one of the cigarettes that are in the ashtray and bites into the filter or sucks on it, upset stomach, nausea, or vomiting are generally going to be the extent of what we're going to see in those small taste ingestions. With these liquid nicotine products, whereas your regular cigarette, you might be looking at 13, 15 milligrams of nicotine. Some of these have up to 72 milligrams per milliliter. So that's one small swallow, and you're essentially have ingested five or six cigarettes. So that's the concern is, again, the potential for high concentrations of nicotine in some of these products.
So what do you tell a caller?
Well,
what do you do?
Okay. Well, the first question is, how's the child doing? And what was it they got into? And then trying to see if we have a label, okay, does it give us a concentration? Like here we have, this one has 1.6% nicotine by volume. So we'll base it on that. Now, if you notice here, it also states that the one cartomizer and cartridge, it has equals over 2+ packs of cigarettes. So concentrated, potent stuff here. And it's just a matter of, again, how's the child doing? How much could they have gotten? Was it just a one puff tasting it, or did they open the cartridge and drink the actual liquid contents of it? So what exactly are we dealing with in determining our assessment of, is this something that we can safely watch at home, or is this something that there is a potential risk for more severe consequences, even up to seizures, in which, you know what, best thing is, let's go have your child be monitored in the emergency room setting. So it will depend on the facts of given the situation. It may be something minor that we can watch at home. But yeah, if the potential is there for it to be dangerous or risky based on the concentration, based on the amount, based on how long the child had access to it, then yeah, we'll probably want to have them be seen in the emergency room.
Now, one of the things I need to let our listeners know at this point, two things actually. One is I've attempted to try to phone the proponent of an e-cigarette, someone who's expert in the manufacture and the distribution of an e-cigarette or the e-cigarettes, to which I can't find anyone. Everyone is a salesperson. They are entrepreneurs who sell it, but they really don't understand the nuts and bolts of what it is that they have in terms of the adverse effects of what that product is having. The second part is if you're a parent, you're listening to this right now and you're getting a little upset, maybe you should be, because now's the time to start really teaching your kids that there are dangers in things like e-cigarettes, like nicotine. You want to keep your kids healthy and happy. You need to be a parent and teach them what it is.
Well, all drugs, too. I mean, any drug.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a good lesson, good discussion to have with your kids. I mean, I already had the sex discussion with my 7-year-old, and that wasn't even planned. She just kept where does a baby, how does a baby get in mommy's tummy? She kept asking and asking. So I just ended up having the whole discussion with her. And, but yeah, I mean, if you have kids and you're listening to the show, and I mean, it's just a good discussion to have with your kids about drugs and what can happen and how they're addicting and what does addicting mean. And yeah. So
I'll have to call you in a couple of years. I'm not looking forward to that.
You know, I have called the Poison Center for my daughter. She must have been two or three, and she ate a flower off of an oleander tree. And so my husband said, call the Poison Center. And yeah, you guys were very professional. You told me what to watch out for, and, you know, and it turned out to be fine.
Good to hear that. And one thing, you know, it's important for callers to know, it doesn't have to be an emergency. You can call us with any question. We're staffed with nurses, pharmacists, and physicians. And 24/7, you're going to speak to a healthcare professional. So you're not going to speak, you're not speaking to an operator, an actual nurse or pharmacist, or like I say, physician that specializes in poison information will be answering your questions. And it doesn't have to be an emergency of something, whether it be e-cigarettes or whatever, that do we need to take them to the ER? Can we watch at home? No, we answer different information on medications, on plants, and, you know, it's just any number of things. So we're a good resource to have. Encourage y'all to use us for any questions. If we all, you know, resort to Google. Uh-huh. But if you want the unbiased and true answer, if you will, call us.
If in case you have a pen and paper handy, it's 1-800-222-1222. It's a very easy number to remember about poison emergencies. It'll be up on our website, ktep.org. It'll also be up on our Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. Plug, plug, plug. But
oh, yes, it's a brand new page. I think it just went up this week or last week.
Yep.
And it is facebook.com/KTEP885FM. No dashes, no 88.5. Just leave the point out. It's just, yep, KTEP885FM.
And one of the things that we did that for was so that you could get your information that way. If you forget that we're talking to Sal Baez, the pharmacist at the West Texas Regional Poison Center. Doctor, let me ask you, what are the most common poison calls that you wind up with?
Well, not too exciting. It's your household stuff. Whatever mom has in her purse, whatever's under the kitchen sink and the bathroom cabinet or medicine cabinet, that's what we're getting calls on. So deodorant, makeup.
Oh, you just reminded me, my husband bought me some pepper spray. And I had it in my purse, but I started thinking, you know, my kids get in my purse all the time. I mean, so I took it out of my purse, but I'm like, where do I put it? You know, I have to keep it with me, but where do you put it, you know?
Well, you said they were like 5 and 7. Mm-hmm. So they're at the age now where they behave and they follow rules. Your toddlers and preschoolers, those are the ones that we get most of our calls on. Again, about 54%. And then your school-age kids, they behave. They follow the rules. And then we get the teenage years, and they're experimenting. And they're, you know, whether it be illicit drugs, whether it be prescription medication is a huge issue as far as the abuse and misuse of prescription medications. And they're getting them from their friends, who are getting them from mom and dad's and grandmother's medicine cabinet. And then, of course, in adults, as we age, the potential for being on our medications for high cholesterol, for diabetes, for antidepressants, et cetera. So the double doses, or, you know, taking my wife's medication by mistake. So the types of calls we get varies depending on the age group. But your school-age kids, generally, they'll behave. They'll be good until they hit the teenage years, and then we have to keep close watch over them again.
Where are you from, Dr. Baez? I had asked you earlier, but I don't think you told me.
Well, I'm originally from the Big Bend area, and I graduated from Presidio High School. My parents still live in Presidio. My dad's in the cattle business. I went to school in Austin at the University of Texas at Austin College of Pharmacy. Came to El Paso on a one-year deal, and 14 years later, I'm still here. So I guess I'm an El Pasoan now.
You've been 12 years at the Poison Center, right?
Yes.
It must be a good place to work. You've been there that long.
It's fun. It's a lot of variety. You never know what the next phone call is going to bring, whether it be just a general medication information, you know, someone asking on a dose or use of medication, or someone having a product from Juarez and what's the equivalent here in the United States. Or you could have a rattlesnake bite. You could have a scorpion sting. You could have an overdose, and, you know, a suicidal overdose, or cry for help.
Oh,
so
okay.
you never know what the next phone call is going to bring. So it's the variety is fun.
What I like about this is that I'm just reading your card, and congratulations, America's first 24-hour bilingual regional poison center.
Yes, and that's one of our 24/7, our entire staff is fully bilingual. So we use the language line interpretation services for other languages, but English and Spanish, we've got that covered at all times. So our Spanish-speaking community is very important, and it's someone that we're trying to constantly reach out to, make them aware of us being available. Too often they go to their comadre or their tía or their, you know, la vecina for advice, and some of the old wives' tales, you know, give them milk, burnt toast. Things that rubbing garlic on a bee sting is not gonna help. So call
it
us.
Won't? No, just kidding.
Well, Dr. Baeza, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your wisdom and your knowledge about something like this. This is a very interesting topic, and one that's not quickly going to go away because the proliferation of e-cigarettes is now a hot topic and a debate. And hopefully, we've created that debate at home, where it should start. If this gets into the hands of teenagers, I know because it's not regulated, even though they say, oh, we don't sell it to minors, it doesn't mean that somebody isn't buying it, keeping it at home, and then kiddos taking it off to school and, you know, getting it there.
And with it, well, thank you for having me, but echoing your sentiments, if it's because it isn't regulated, there's nothing stopping them from selling it to minors. So it's certainly something that we're going to see and hear more on, certainly as the months go by. And main thing is not condoning or its use in any way, but just for people to be informed and be aware of the risk of what they're maybe bringing into their home.
Well, thank you for coming, and thank you for listening to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Nomi Rojas. I'm the editor of Synapse, the region's life sciences news digest. Thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome. And I'm Dennis Hu. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of El Paso Primetime. This episode of El Paso Primetime was taped on April 15th, a week and a half before its airing on April 26th. And since that time, the Food and Drug Administration has decided to ease into the e-cigarette arena by proposing rules that would ban sales to anyone under 18, require FDA approval for new products, and to add warning labels to all new and existing labels under the e-cigarette moniker. Plus, they also cover cigars and the smoking pipes and accessories. The administration admits it needs new evidence before moving into new regulation territory. The full e-cigarette and tobacco proposal to Congress is on their website at fda.gov. So the discussion whether or not e-cigarettes will remain in our society as a plausible and viable alternative to nicotine cessation is going to rage on for a few months more. Stay tuned. We'll have more on this topic as it warrants. Thank you so much for listening to El Paso Primetime, a production of KTEP, All Rights Reserved 2014, by KTEP and the University of Texas at El Paso. Thanks for listening. Join us again next Saturday at 1 for another edition of El Paso Primetime. Louis Signs and Perspectives is up next. Have a great weekend. Be safe. We'll be right back.